And really, in whatever way works for you, to generate the quality of metta. And metta, sometimes it's translated as unconditional love. It's kind of a big, it's like the most kind of ebullient of translations. And it is that. It is unconditional love. One of the qualities of unconditional love. And it's also a kind of a friendliness, an acceptance. So if you think about a friend, a dear friend that you've had for many years, friendships don't survive if we expect perfection from ourselves or from our friend. That leads to conflict, leads to disappointment. It leads to alienation because human beings are not perfect, or we are perfectly imperfect. I like to also think of it that way. We're perfectly imperfect. The world is perfectly imperfect. So metta has this acceptance of things as they are, of people as they are, of beings as they are, of the world as it is. It's not an indifference, it's not careless, but it's like loving it anyway. Loving the whole thing anyway. Because what better is there to do? I mean, what are we going to do? Start from being angry, upset, afraid, confused, we can. But if we start from a sense of friendliness, acceptance, just loving the whole thing anyway, then our heart opens. Then we're more attuned to the truth of the way things are. So settling back into our seat, feeling our feet on the ground or our body resting on the seat here. Fully taking your seat. Feet on the ground gives a better foundation if you can. And really just moving out of the thinking mind into the body, embodied heart. So dropping down into your heart center. Just having that sense of friendliness, kindness, acceptance. With each breath, breathing into that quality of metta, letting it grow, letting it brighten and strengthen and get more stable. And with each out-breath, letting it just spread in all directions as far as it wants to go. Might be just a tiny little bit, might be an eighth of an inch. That's good. It might just want to spread out there in all directions. That's good. So taking care of the heart, heart mind. And as we cultivate this quality of metta, we can't have an intention of metta and an intention of ill will at the same time. You can't have metta and fear. Not really at the same time. We can bring metta to fear, actually. But if we put metta in the center, metta takes the seat, and everything else can move, come and go, move around that. But it's not being displaced. The metta takes the seat, your heart's center. So coming into your heart center, breathing into your heart center. Now, if you're having trouble connecting with this quality, there's a little trick that I came up with or thought of or makes sense to me, is that, you know, often when we practice metta, we're practicing metta for all the world. As we generate it, it goes out, you know, we bring in, or either the metta spreads out to all the world, or we bring the whole world into our heart. And then there are people who just find it really difficult to practice metta, and it's like, it's just hard, it doesn't really work, or I can only open just a little bit. So if you're one of those people, don't let the aversion or the doubt stop you. What I like to do in those moments, or it might be just that sometimes you can't open, it's too much. So what I like to do in those moments is just reflect on that somewhere in the world, somebody is generating metta for all the world, for all beings. Somewhere right now, probably not at any time of day or night, you think about the different time zones and all the people, many, many Buddhist practitioners, some, you know, non-Buddhist, you know, many non-Buddhist practitioners who cultivate these beautiful qualities. But somewhere, at least someone is radiating metta for all the world, and that includes you. So instead of trying to generate it, you can take it in. Take in that quality of metta. So right now, whether you're able to spread it out for all the world, or whether you just need to take it in from someone else who's doing that to get you started, it's all good. It's all aligned. So using the breath as your anchor for awareness, breathing in metta, breathing out, letting metta expand. Taking it in, letting it be strengthened in your heart, and sending it out as far as it wants to go.
Thank you.
If you find that you're getting sleepy or distracted, you can stand up. Standing up can help raise a bit of energy and clarity. And simply continue the meditation standing. And if you're standing and you feel a little dizzy, then please sit down. Don't fall down. Happens sometimes. So in a minute or so, we will end this time of formal stillness meditation. Just seeing where your attention is. And if it's wandered, bring it back to the body, mind, and the heart of metta. So we're going to have a lunch break shortly, it'll be for an hour, and then we'll come back on the hour, an hour and a bit from now, and I'd like to open up for any questions or comments that anyone has, and we'll have some time for those in the room and for those in the Zoom room to ask anything you'd like to ask about the practice so far. And there'll be another opportunity a bit later in the day also for questions and comments and responses. And I'd also like to just bring the lunch into our practice. So this is a day of noble silence. I'd like to invite you all to keep noble silence through the lunch break so that we can really take care of our practice and the mindfulness that we're developing. It's nice to see each other and to catch up, but it's also very precious to have time, you know, an extended time of a day where we can practice in silence and just be more focused. So the meal time, eating, you know, in a monastery, eating is part of the meditation practice. We have a formal kind of ritual around the main meal of the day, which will be this meal. So some monasteries don't have breakfast, some do, we do with ours. And then there's this, we eat between, in the Theravada tradition, we eat between dawn and noon. So this main meal, this like lunchtime meal, is the main meal of the day for us. And we create certain ritual around it in order to really pay attention to what's going on while we're collecting our food, and you know, we look at it for a moment before we eat. We reflect on what is this food for, you know, because habitually people eat because it's nice, delicious, for texture and color and flavor and maybe association, you know, maybe familiar from childhood or culture or. And obviously, also, and hopefully also for nourishment. Hopefully that's pretty high up there. So these are the reasons that one eats. So we can eat for like healthy reasons, and we can eat for just because one has to. I certainly know a few people who would rather have a pill and just have it all done with than eat a meal. It's never been my experience, but some people have that. Or we can eat as a sensual delight. And then, of course, there are so many complications that can happen around eating. Eating is something we have to do every day, pretty much. Well, you can fast once in a while, but basically you have to eat to live. And yes, for some it gets complicated, you know, wanting to eat out just to comfort ourselves and then getting overweight or unwell or being addicted to foods that are not beneficial to us or under-eating. You know, all of these things can be part of what happens, and it can be complicated because we have to eat. It's not like we can just give up eating, you know, one has to eat. So having this silence and mindfulness around eating, it helps to show up, you know, what are we bringing to this? What are we bringing to the meal? You know, can we simply eat a meal? Can we just eat a meal with mindfulness, enough for the body, and you know, to nourish the body, to support our practice? And that question, you know, just to see is can we do this? And it might be like, no, you know, it might be, no, I can't. It's complicated. I get all excited and then I eat too much and then I feel bad. You know, we can do that. Or there's a fear of eating too much. We don't eat enough. We can't take in the nourishment. You know, that might be happening. So as part of the metta practice, to eat in a way that's bringing metta to this body, appreciating this body, all the work this body does, all these years, doesn't complain a lot. I mean, it will complain a little bit, but not a lot, really. It's pretty, I always think of this body as a good friend that puts up with quite a lot and still shows up, you know, still does what needs to be done. And so to eat with metta for the body, to take in the good food to nourish your body, and also to be aware of the generosity of the earth itself that's providing the food. You know, it kind of starts with the sun. So all food that we eat has the sun as the beginning. The sun and the earth and the rain and the wind. These elements produce the food that we eat, whether it's, you know, fruits or vegetables, grains or fish, animals, whatever it may be, that it all starts from the sun. And green life. So to take in also the metta of this food, the generosity of the earth itself, that's always, you know, just keeps on producing, you know, keeps on giving, even when we're not always so respectful. So to take all of that in, taking the goodness of the food, of the elements that have created this food, of the intention to bring this food into the body for the well-being of this body, so that it can be healthy enough, so that we can practice to align our hearts with truth, to free ourselves of the kilesas, the obscurations of mind, greed, hatred, and delusion. So just to notice, are we eating with greed? And if we are, it's not like, shouldn't we eat with greed, you're bad, you know, but just like, there is a way of eating that's just eating with gratitude, eating with metta. You know, are we eating with aversion? It's not the one I wanted, it's too cold, or it's too, it's not cooked well enough, or, you know, I don't like eating, or, you know, then we're adding aversion to what is a nourishing experience. So it's just noticing, without criticizing, without judging, but just noticing, where does the mind go? Does it get confused? And you know, there were times in the monastery in England where you'd have the mealtime was very, very public. And you'd go along with your arms bowl and you take the food and everyone's looking. Sometimes there's even somebody with a camera at the end filming everyone. And at the end is where all the desserts are. So it's, you know, and then you're eating and it's very, very public. So then there can be this, like, all this self-judgment. And sometimes I would go and collect my meal and I'd have the best of intentions. I'd be on my mat. I'm going to be mindful, just take just what I need. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to chant a blessing. And then I'm going to eat mindfully. And then I'd get to the end of the food line and then it'd be like, oh my goodness, how did all of that get into my bowl? And then I'd come back and like, okay, I'll just eat what I need. And then suddenly like, oh, it's all gone. Where did that all go? What happened? You know, so it can be like that. That's when there's kind of confusion. So to try to eat with mindfulness and gratitude and eat to nourish the body. So I'd like to chant a little blessing. So for those who, so I know that particularly for you, Peter, actually, for hosting me and for feeding me today, and for anyone else who's also brought food for yourself and to share. And we're not doing a traditional potluck today because of many reasons, but I just like to chant a little blessing. And I'm going to do it in the English today. Just as the rivers flow into the sea, so what is given in generosity benefits the departed and all whom you love, like the moon waxing full, shining brightly above. May all distress be averted. May all disease be destroyed. May no harm lie before you, and may long life bring you joy. May you have every good blessing. May all the devas protect you. By the power of all the Buddhas, may you ever be well. May you have every good blessing. May all the devas protect you. By the power of all the Dhamma, may you ever be well. May you have every good blessing. May all the devas protect you. By the power of all the Sangha, may you ever be well. So we'll be back in an hour and to our seats, and may we remain present through every moment between now and our return.